Today's program is brought to you by Whole Foods Market, a dynamic leader in the quality food business, a mission-driven company that aims to set the standards of excellence for food retailers. For more information, visit wholefoodsmarket.com.
I'm Erin Fairbanks, host of The Farm Report. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
I'm surprised at the rise the DJ is getting here. Never thought that my vibe would really fit in here. All them ladies sitting there, I pass and they perk up. On my way to the bar, replenish my cup. Yup.
Hi, and welcome to Taste Talks on Heritage Radio. I'm your host, Sarah Zorn, the food editor at Northside Media, which produces the annual Taste Talks Festival in both Brooklyn and Chicago each fall. Picking up where the festival left off, the Taste Talks podcast brings innovators from various fields, including music, art, media, design, and tech, together with luminaries from the food and restaurant world to expound on any and all topics related to taste. It is hard to believe it, but on today's very special season finale, boo-hoo, salty tears, I will be chatting with true hip-hop royalty, original Tribe Called Quest member turned chef, Jarobi White. And if you noticed, our theme song was a little different today. That is because he was gracious enough to let us use a track from his upcoming, still untitled EP called They Dance For Me. Good stuff. Lucky me, I got to listen to the rest of it. We're also joined today by top restaurateur Michael Spilakis, who just added concert hall owner to his impressive resume, and we're going to be talking all about the intersection of music and food in both of their lives and careers. At the end of the show, we will spotlight some of the best and worst restaurants nationwide, partially financed by musicians. But first, I am excited to kick things off with who else? My favorite banter buddy of all, the food editor of Gothamist, Nell Casey, to talk about the week's breaking culinary news. Hey there, Nell.
Hey, Sarah. That was sweet. Now I'm crying salty tears.
There is no one else that I could, you know, close this out with other than you.
It has been such a great season. Thank you again
I appreciate it. So, generally, we try to track down food stories that in some way tie into the show's weekly theme, but it kind of looks like we blew our wad on the story of the beer brewed with Wu-Tang tunes a few weeks ago, not to mention Neil Young's anti-Monsanto album, and so nothing particularly music-related has popped up unfortunately. But since it
still
is... Yes, our last show of the season, I figured we would just go rogue and talk about anything and everything that caught our eye in this week's food news lineup, regardless of theme. So, to start us off, if anything could get me back in movie theaters, which I have avoided like the plague for years now owing to my paralyzing fear of bed bugs and also bloated ticket prices... It's Heavens Preserve Us, an upcoming Pez movie. Believe it, folks. Now, I guess if Legos could do it, Pez thought they could too. But then again, Legos are still an entirely relevant best-selling toy. And Pez
are Pez.
I haven't thought about Pez since Pez. That famous Seinfeld episode. But there is going to be a full-length Pez movie. Now, how does one turn a line of plastic candy dispensers shaped like Donald Duck and Ronald Reagan into a feature-length film?
I mean, I honestly don't know. I think you're right. The Lego, there's sort of a built-in backstory there. They're actual people and creatures with legs that can walk. I mean, Pez don't even have, do they even
have
feet?
In the Seinfeld episode, Elaine manipulated
it. They have feet. No Jarobi's chiming in. They have feet.
They have
confirmed.
Feet,
let it be said they have feet. That's all you need to make a movie.
I guess. It's just, oh, Lord. And it's funny because the Lego movie was actually super well received. It had a great voice cast. Chris Pratt, obviously man of the moment right now. I just can't, like, Pez isn't even good candy.
All right,
I'm sorry.
Maybe they need Jarobi White to write the Pez theme because
yes.
Legos had an awesome
theme. That would be
theme.
Perfect.
Well, I collect some Pez. I collect a few Star Wars Pez. So.
See, those are cool.
Yeah. Are those
but then
worth
that's
anything?
A Star Wars story.
I don't know if they're worth it. I just love Star Wars. So.
Star Wars is awesome.
Well, yeah. In other childhood nostalgia news, Pez, those powdered pellets of pure corn syrup, may have made it to the new millennium intact, but that may not be the case for yellow number 6 infused delicacies like Kraft macaroni and cheese and Fruit Loops. What are they doing to our sugar cereal now?
Well, as I mentioned on last week's show, my love for disgusting fake cheese knows no bounds. I will eat it. Kraft macaroni and cheese is part of the fiber of my soul.
Kraft has broken your heart.
I grew up on it. They're getting rid of basically the synthetic colors, the Dayglow orange that we all know and love, and making it sort of not, I guess, more good for you, although you're eating macaroni and cheese, and same with Fruit Loops. Kellogg's is saying, okay, we're ditching all the artificial colors. We're going to make natural Fruit Loops.
But aren't they just like Cheerios if they're just...
Well, they still are packed with sugar. Like, it's not as if Fruit Loops are a health food cereal. Like, they're supposed to be a little bit naughty. So, like, eating some, like...
And it's kind of a warning sign if it's, like, coming at you purple. Like, you know, parents who are really, you know, dedicated to...
Then don't eat Fruit Loops. You know what I mean? Like, I just think it's. And what is the milk not going to turn blue anymore?
I don't think so.
That's the fun part about eating Fruit Loops.
Yes, that's the
and
real
these
tragedy
tasty
of it
Fruit
all.
Fruit Loops, are they not going to turn my milk blue? Boo, Kellogg's boo.
I wonder what Toucan Sam would have to say about this. He might just have to break ties with the company and maybe migrate to New York City and change his diet from fruit to fish, because how is this for a segue? Blah, 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 fancy stuff.
Wow. Out all the stops on the last show.
Okay, so the fish comment, we may soon be getting our very own branch of Zao. Is that how it was bad?
I'm so glad you had to say that.
I really should just try to keep it to very, like, three-letter words. Anyway, a Japanese restaurant that lets patrons catch their own fish from one of several massive aquariums may be on its way to New York City. Maybe it's a way to get around the DOH's recent edict about freezing fish. You just, like, catch it from the tank and put it
on a plate.
Couldn't
be fresher.
Maybe that's it. So how do you feel about it now? Like, we pay a lot of money to do the farmer's work by going and picking our own apples. Would you be all about...
I mean, here's the thing.
Going for your
I
own
think
fish?
That everyone should be able to look a creature in the eye that they are then going to kill and consume for sustenance. If you can't do that, then there's a deeper disconnect between the way that we consume food. So in and of itself, I'm like, okay, this is sort of like, this is good. Maybe it's putting people back in touch with, like, what they're actually eating and, like, what goes into the food, you know, in terms of, like, the life of a being. I'm a little stressed out about, like, fish hooks flying around in a restaurant and, like, I don't know.
What a floor show.
I don't know if I could do it personally.
Is this before or after a couple of cocktails?
Right?
Oh, I mean, that's right. You know that they're going to have a liquor license. Stock
yeah.
it
oh, yeah.
and catch
yeah.
your own
and
fish.
Catch your own fish.
Yeah.
I guess you don't have to. The restaurant says, okay, you can just order off a menu. And the other thing that
What's
I thought
the
was
point?
Really interesting.
You could
I know.
Just go to one of our
somewhere.
Wonderful guest Michael's, like, restaurants and get a whole fish
exactly.
without catching it and getting a fish hook in your eye. Anyway, who knows? Maybe by the time Taste Talks comes back for its next season, aquarium to table restaurants will be where it's at.
The new norm.
Yes. We are going to take a quick break and come right back with Jarobi White and Michael Spilakis. You are listening to Taste Talks on the Heritage Radio Network.
Turn the other way. Damn, she's trying to get noticed. Ooh, she's hosting now. She's trying to get noticed. Her body moves like inspiration for poets. Al was the cry from the crew she came in with. Now she bumping into me. Girl, you looking for a love or a fantasy? It don't matter. I got the ladder. Because everywhere I go, they dance for me. 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 I'm not trying to save your love, but fuck with a nigga who got plenty of flame. It's like her hips blow in the wind, just like semaphore. I'm getting the message. She trying to attract your boy. Emotions displayed, intentions and other plans. Every move he speaks. Yeah, I can.
Today's program has been brought to you by Whole Foods Market. Are you a locavore? Our Northeast regional forager for Whole Foods Market sure is. She spends her time traveling around the New York City metro area sourcing the best new or interesting artisanal and handcrafted local products for our purchasing teams at the local store level. Part of our commitment to our local suppliers includes assisting them with the process of getting their products sold at our stores. Whether it's suggesting packaging designs, pricing, or distribution methods, she's helping some of the area's best new products reach savvy shoppers at Whole Foods Market stores. Today, New York. Tomorrow, the world. For more information, visit WholeFoodsMarket.com.
At its core, Taste Talks is about examining the way in which food intersects with all manner of creative fields, and today's two talented guests should provide tremendous insight on that. Jarobi White is an internationally recognized figure throughout the entertainment industry as one of the original members of the legendary hip-hop group A Tribe Called Quest. He is now best known for his culinary talents through such events as Brooklyn's Tribe Taco Tuesdays and other temporary dining pop-ups in Los Angeles, Washington, D.C., D.C., and New York as the owner of Eat Rhymes and Life, a culinary and music events company. In addition to winning many of the food world's highest honors, such as Food & Wine's Best New Chef and Bon Appetit's Chef of the Year distinctions, as well as Michelin Stars and James Beard Award nominations, Michael Soulakis is the chef owner of Fish Tag, Keffi, and multiple branches of MP Taverna, the newest of which boasts an attached concert venue and performance space called The Hall. Such an honor to have you here, you guys.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Very it's an honor cool. to be in his company, too.
Please, this guy's a renaissance man.
You both are, wow. are, you know, masters of your fields. So to start with Jarobi, my goodness, have you had a versatile career? Yeah. So as we said, you were one of the founding members of A Tribe Called Quest. You contributed to songs like I Left My Wallet in El Segundo, Push It Along, Youthful Expression. You were in 5 of the 13 music videos the band filmed, and you've consistently toured with them, and yet you left right when they really began to catch fire in 1991 in order to attend culinary school. So you know my first question is please explain.
Well, I think that when we started getting our fame and notoriety, I was young. I was maybe like 17, 18 years old. That's crazy. But I was like 17, 18 years old. I don't think I was really ready for all the attention and all that stuff. But I, you know, wanted to use what I was given already to kind of do something towards my future.
So did you already have a passion for cooking? And why do you think that it was, well, you said that you were young, not ready for the fame. But why did you feel at that very moment the overwhelming need to pursue it?
Cooking and music have always been 1A to me. I started off cooking because my parents were divorced and I had a brother who was 10 years younger than me. And my mother was a nurse. You know what nursing hours are like. So I had to feed us. So along with that and spending a lot of time inside watching my brother, PBS was another big thing for me. So
oh, yeah.
Julia Child, Martin Yan, Justin Wilson, and my favorite, Frugal Gourmet, those are my pals. Those are my buddies.
I'm inspired by those same people. I would imagine Michael is too. It's like the PBS crew.
It's crazy.
Yeah, the best thing also about the Frugal Gourmet, which really, really, really sucked me in, he gave history along with the food as well.
Yes.
And once I got that, I was just, it was a wrap for me.
I love that guy, man.
Yeah, oh my goodness.
He's so cool.
Really, really, right? Even the tone of his voice and everything. It was
the whole
just,
thing.
He's
just
a blast
chill.
From the past,
yeah.
the Frugal Gourmet.
Yeah,
and Yan from Yan Can Cook. I love
yes,
him. Michael, so you actually attended school for finance and accounting,
yeah.
which I'm sure at the time your parents were horrified that you abandoned. So what yeah. lit the culinary flame for you?
I mean, mom cried, you know. I'm an immigrant, and that was her dream, you know, go to school, become a doctor or a lawyer or something like that. But I started working in a restaurant, and it was home, man. You know, I started in front of the house, and I don't know, something about food. If you're a gift giver, you know, if you love giving gifts,
right.
if you've, like, you know, if you're looking at, like, giving gift as something that is so much a part of you, then you could do food, man, because that's really what it's all about. You know, nobody sits home. People think chefs sit home and make these 18-course meals for themselves. There's no fun in that, man. You cook for other people, to give to other people, and to share that joy.
Jarobi, you appeared in Michael Rapaport's documentary on A Tribe Called Quest, which I've totally mm-hmm. seen and loved, called Beats,
awesome.
Rhymes, and Life, which I would imagine inspired your own culinary and music events company, being that it's called Eats, Rhymes, and Life. Clever,
right.
clever. I would love for you to talk more about your company, the concept behind it, and how it combines food and music.
Okay. I don't know. Eats, Rhymes, and Life is just a multifaceted company, just an entertainment company, events company. I do a lot of things in the music world, you know, and I always want to combine the two, because most of the times, most of my best experiences have been in the intersection of music and food together. So right now, I'm doing in Brooklyn Tribe Taco Tuesdays, which I brings, you know, world class DJs, and I pair them with my tacos, which are, you know, just crazy, a lot of crazy stuff. I do restaurant takeovers as well, which I call the total hip hop approach to cooking. I go into someone's restaurant, I see what's on their menu, what the ingredients they have, and I remix their menu. I make different dishes based on what you have in house.
Are you going to take over MP Taverna?
I've been trying to elbow him and trying to suggest it. You know what I mean?
I hear that. So, Michael, even though it serves as an adjunct to Williamsburg's new outpost of MP Taverna, which has essentially become your flagship restaurant brand, the Hall is a very unique venture for you. You have a state-of-the-art concert and performing space. You host live bands, DJs, and other sort of in-house programming, in addition to offering your a la carte dining and large format meals. So tell me the creation story of this very ambitious project.
Well, you know, I was really reflecting on art from really young. I never looked at things the way other people looked at things. I think it was really just sort of me needing to understand more than what the senses could really perceive. So I took to writing. I mean, that's what I did from when I was a little boy, when I was seven. I just would write and write and write, just volumes of information. And it was really reflection on, you know, how I perceived reality. And my reality was a little fucked up when I was a kid. But, you know, I fell into cooking really by chance. And that became my, I guess, platform of expression. But I never really left the idea of wanting to somehow put art on a platform and showcase it in a way that gives the artist the ability to really express what they love to do. So I figured, hey, why not combine the thing that I love to do with something that somebody else loves to do? And the idea sort of was spawned and put together by a bunch of people that I know that are connected in the music industry pretty well. And one thing led to another, and, you know, boom, the thing got built, you know.
It's a really exciting and very unique place. If you have not been yet to the Hall, you should totally go. So, Jarobi, even when you're not actively combining the two through your company, you've definitely found a way to at least balance your love of music with your love of cooking. In 2011, you formed the group Evita N with your fellow
Evitan. Yes.
This is why I write things and don't say it out loud.
It's
Evitan.
We had a collective called Native Tongues.
Yeah.
And so Evitan is native spelled backwards.
Thank you. I didn't know how to pronounce that Japanese restaurant either. I should really just stick to the writing. So, but you founded that on one hand. On the other hand, as executive chef, you helped earn the Restaurant August in New York City a Michelin star. So how have you found a way to have these two sides of you exist side by side? And do you think if you'd understood how to achieve that balance way back when, you could have continued on with A Tribe Called Quest?
Yeah. I didn't, you know, I'm like a rhinoceros, just one way forward. You know what I mean? So now to me, it doesn't really seem like there's that much of a difference. You know what I mean? Because the music business and the cooking business are very similar in that the immediate gratification of it. You know, you're only as good as your last song. You're only as good as your last plate. You know what I mean? You play a record and people immediately bob their head. Somebody takes a forkful of your food, they do that look, they roll their eyes back, that look, like, so it's pretty much the same, you know, it's very similar to me.
With any career, and you've obviously experienced it, but it's so easy to burn out because the need to shelve certain parts of yourself, your various passions and talents in the name of security and making money. So, Michael, how have you effectively drawn on all parts of yourself to create a life that is sustainable, and I don't just mean financially?
Well, that's a pretty big question.
It really is.
Fucking, like, just throw it down.
It really is.
He gets one question, and I get this big
mess. Yeah.
Explain this. Now it's like we're getting deep.
We're Terry Grossing up in here, you know.
Dude with the deep voice can answer that one.
That's right.
You know, I think that's probably one of the most difficult things that you have to deal with as you grow. You know, for me, there was a sort of an epiphany. I lost my father. When he passed away, I had a bunch of restaurants, all of them very formal, high-end restaurants. I was cooking food that I would consider cerebral at that point. I was really living under a rock. I mean, I didn't care if it was snowing, raining. I didn't care about the day of the week. I had a family that I really wasn't part of, to be honest with you. And then when he passed away, I realized, like, what the fuck am I doing, man? This is life isn't just about food. But it was too much a part of my soul. I mean, it's like crack to me, food, man. Cooking is just an addiction. People don't realize that.
I mean, I hear you, bro.
If I'm alone, I just want to cook. I don't care about anything else, you know? So I came up with an idea of meeting halfway, where, you know, food became less of an expression for creating art as it was more about the reflection of what my dad used food for, which was really to gather us all together. You know, it was just spending time with one another and cooking food that put us all down at a kitchen table so we can have fun and talk and yell and scream and do all the things that, you know, immigrants do. And that really sort of led to a need. And I think the whole sort of fills the void of me needing to really sort of get back into making some sort of creative input outside of the things that I'm really sort of comfortable in. You know, it's pushing you out of that comfort zone and allowing you to express things in a different way.
Please correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems like you've both purposefully steered clear of a level of celebrity that would have been easy enough to get swept up in. Obviously, you, during the height of A Tribe Called Quest fame, Jarobi, and Michael Wall, you have certainly been on your fair share of cooking competitions and shows. I'm sure that you have turned down more than you've accepted.
Yeah.
So would you agree to a certain reluctance about being a quote-unquote celebrity?
I'm uncomfortable with
it. I'm super uncomfortable.
I don't even like going into the dining room. I don't, you know, I mean, I'm an introvert at heart. I just reflected in words for 20 years of my life, you know. I get TV. I do. I think it's a wonderful vehicle. I think, you know, people who diss on it is, you know, and especially in the food world, I don't get that, man. I really don't. They've, you know, without it, we wouldn't be able to cook half the shit we're cooking right now, man. I mean, or without you guys, you know, it's all about the press. And, you know, when I first started way back when, it was like, you know, you would cook something. I remember I had a 7-course organ tasting menu in my first restaurant in New York going back like 15 years. And, you know, people were like, why would you want to cook brain, or why would you want to cook lung or anything else like that, you know? And it wasn't until, you know, people came in to eat it and they gave me the opportunity to talk about it that we started to really understand the why of things, you know. But it's very, very hard. I don't know about you, man, but like for me, I don't like getting in front of a camera. That to me is more work than not.
And I think people like us, I can say that people like us, like, I think that we're really just simply into the art of it. Like, we're just doing art. I consider myself an artist, and I'm sure he feels the same way. We consider ourselves art and the fame and everything. I mean, yeah, that's a byproduct of it, and yes, it helps you succeed and grow your business and all of that, but at the really core of it, the only thing that motivates me is the art. The only thing.
Well, I feel you. I'm sure Nell does, too, because we either hide behind a computer, hide behind a headset at a radio station. Michelin stars aside, you've both also rejected that mannered stiffness that comes with traditional fine dining. So what kind of atmosphere have you tried to foster through your various restaurants and your pop-ups?
Just eating food is a very social thing to me. You know, people come together, talk about experiences. A lot of the experiences that you have in life are some way tied to food and or music. And I just want to, like, just foster that. You know what I mean? I just want to give people the opportunity to have really, really high-level food, but not have to, I don't know, no pretension about it. You don't have to be stiff or come in a 3-piece suit in order to eat some foie gras or something, man. Like, you know what I mean? Like, food is for everybody. Everything's for everybody. And I don't think that there's a certain way you have to be in order to enjoy these things, you know?
Yeah, talk about your brand, Michael, because MP Taverna, like, that's the ultimate, like, you know, family brand, but that actual, like, hardcore gourmands could really appreciate. So how have you, I know you started a little bit on the higher end and have been moving more and more to that kind of relaxed.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think that when you deal with fine dining restaurants, I think that there's a beauty in fine dining restaurants. I'm
Absolutely.
Not dissing on fine dining
Absolutely.
Restaurants, man. I love fine dining restaurants. It's just that for me, to do a fine dining restaurant well, it's a full-on commitment, man. You can't just go halfway on that level. Because, you know, I think the big difference between fine dining and you know, convivial dining, which I think is what MP Taverna really is, it's just family convivial-style dining. You know, the commitment to details in fine dining is the driving force. People just don't understand it, man. You know, like, it's not just what's coming out of the kitchen. It's every little tiny thing that's going on in the entire space has to be nothing but perfect, and anything less than that is failure. So I think, you know, that sort of brings about some pretension that's necessary in the restaurant, but it's also to the diner. I think you kind of sense it. So after a while, you know, you can go to that type of experience every once in a while. You have a special occasion, you have an anniversary, a birthday, something like that, you know. And if you're a young chef and you're really into it, you know, head down, cool. But I think the average guy doesn't want to feel stressed out when he's fucking eating.
You know, right.
I mean, like, what fork to eat with. I remember, you know, we would have sauce spoons and fish knives, and people would look at the thing and be like, what is this, man? You know, I mean, it looks like a sex toy somehow, but, you know, like, pick up a fish with that thing. How the fuck are you going to do it, you know?
So I'd love to know, do you guys have a personal playlist? Anything in particular that you like to listen to get pumped up in the kitchen before service or events?
Me, it's just, you know what? I think it depends on what I'm cooking and just my mood, really. I don't have a go-to, but right now I'm a friend of mine just passed, another rapper, Sean P. Yeah. Listen to a lot of his music right now, another Brooklyn native. And also I listen a lot of Jay Davey. It's a group out of L.A. They combine, like, I don't know, Prince, the Eurythmics, and the Beach Boys. It's the craziest thing you've ever heard.
My goodness. Awesome.
And hip hop is like, it's crazy. It's really dope, and they get me pumped.
Wow. I mean, I'm on the other side, really. I listen to like Slipknot or fucking something crazy loud and hard.
Yeah.
I just love Slipknot. Yeah. I love all type of music, I have to be honest with you. The funny thing is, you know, listening to my little kids who, you know, their thoughts on music. And I put a Frank Sinatra song the other day, and my eldest is 10, and he's like, who is this, daddy? And I said, it's Frank Sinatra. He said, who is that? You know, and I had this intern that was working for me this summer, and I went to, I brought my son to a U2 concert. We had, you know, really great tickets, and I said, I have to leave early, and I'm going to U2 concert. She said, who's that? And I was like, what the fuck, man?
You,
I mean,
failed,
like, you know, like,
terrible.
I don't
that's
understand.
Terrible.
It's just the weirdest thing to me. You know, like, I'm sure you can go back in time and mention, like, all of these musicians that were way before you, know, like, way before you. And, okay, fine, like, you do music, and I get it, you know, and I do food, and we both do food, and we probably can talk about some chefs that are, you know, most people wouldn't know today. But it just seems like there's a really big disconnect with, you know, back in the day, the people that really inspired others to do what they're doing today, they sort of get lost in the mix. I don't know why. You know, it's frustrating to me. But I love music. And I think, you know, the way that we listen to music today, I think, allows you to really explore a lot of different music. I think that's the cool part about, you know, technology, especially when you're dealing with music. I mean, you could just throw on Pandora or any of these other things, and just click on a thing, and all of a sudden you're, like, going to a different place. I had this conversation with my wife the other day, like, who listens to the radio anymore, man?
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
definitely.
For music, you know, it's mostly like you listen to the radio, listen to people talk about stuff. And, you know, I mean, I can't remember the last time I actually put on a radio station to listen to music.
Yeah. It's kind of depressing. It's like an hour, and then they just repeat the same playlist again.
Yeah,
it's like,
I mean,
that's
just weird.
You
have
that's
a total,
not evolving.
Yeah, you have a total of 15 songs.
Yeah.
13 of them are standard, and they throw two wild cards in.
It's all the same genre, too. You know, it's like, you know, you put this station on, and they're only going to be playing this. Like, I love hip-hop, but that doesn't mean I want to listen to it for 36 hours straight.
I don't even want to listen to hip-hop 30 hours.
After a while, no matter what I have on, I just want to kill myself after, you know, a few hours. But
totally agree.
I'm going to embarrass myself by admitting that I was rocking out to Jesse's Girl in a car.
There's nothing wrong with that.
That's what they play on the radio nowadays. It's all 80s all the time. So what other exciting projects do you both have coming up? And Jarobi, can we actually expect to see a Tribe Called Quest food truck in the near future?
Wow.
Is this a thing?
Yeah, it's a thing. It's a thing. Working on it right now. I designed a truck. It's going to be crazy. My idea of it is to try to hit music for all the music festivals.
Shit.
And I want to do guerrilla style. If I hear some
pimped out to the max.
Pimped out to the max turntables.
Fucking bass on that, dude.
Dude, it's going to be crazy.
Imagine?
Oh, yeah, it's going to be crazy.
It's like boom. You can hear that shit.
I want to hop
yeah.
right
into
that
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I want to do, you know, sometimes maybe some guerrilla style. I'll drive up. If I know somebody's having a concert somewhere, I might just pull up in front of Radio City Music Hall and, you know, take the fine.
You know I love that gorilla style.
Yeah, yeah. Take the fine That's and just, it, man. You know what I mean? And just rock out.
Amazing. Michael, I'm assuming that you're still, you know, concentrating on your newest baby, The Hall, and MP Taverna in Williamsburg. But anything else that we could get excited about from you?
There's a third property on that one that's penciled in for the first quarter. It's a pretty big spot we have in Williamsburg. It's like 15,000 square feet. So we have I chopped it up a little bit, and we have a little tiny spot left, about 2,000 square feet, to do a little sort of
a little spot.
Stop and go kind of, awesome. You know, just good food to take home and eat.
Well, you know, the final pressing question is, can we expect to see Jarobi playing out at The Hall anytime in the near future?
Because
I'm there.
Open invitation.
I would love to.
We're all about connecting.
I would love to do a takeover. Yeah. I'd love to perform and design a little menu and cook and play.
Yeah, man.
That would be my dream.
Oh, man.
My New York dream right now.
New York dream. Whoa.
I hope I get the first invite. Guys, it has been so amazing to talk to you. Please do stick around. Keep those headsets on. We are going to take a short break and then come back to chat about our favorite musician-owned restaurants. You are listening to Taste Talks on the Heritage Radio Network.
I'm surprised at the rise the DJ is getting here. Never thought that my vibe would really fit in here. All them ladies sitting there, I pass and they perk up. On my way to the bar, replenish my cup. Yup, I'm stuck, them things just kicked in. Head bobbing to the beat, presence on a million. Yes, love, it's really him. They look and they whisper, I fucking me. They waist start to twist up, turn this way, oh girl.
All right, so musicians getting into the food game isn't at all as unusual as some may think. In fact, there is a strong tradition of musician-backed restaurants, from Questlove's Fried Chicken Spot in Chelsea Market to, yes, Jimmy Buffett's Cheeseburger in Paradise chain.
I need to go there. I really want
They're
to go
not
there.
In New York, but it's amazing.
I'll make a trip.
Okay, but not all of them. Remember Britney Spears' short-lived Nyla in New York City? Not all of them are created equal. So I thought we would close out our final show, Here Come the Salty Tears Again, by spotlighting some of the best and worst among them. And now, why don't you get yourself into trouble and start us off?
Oh, God. Well, it's funny because I was sort of researching this segment and I was like, man, I really haven't been to a lot of musician-owned restaurants.
But there's more. Well, you probably
I haven't
have.
Either.
Which is not knowing.
Unless I didn't know.
Yeah. You probably have because Jay-Z and you two are backers in the Spotted Pig.
Okay, well, that's
I had no idea.
Really?
Right?
Wow. I was mind blown, right?
Wow.
Okay, well, I'll just say that is a good one.
Yeah,
I realized that, like, speaking of Britney Spears, that the only one I really knew about was when Justin Timberlake was running Southern Hospitality.
Right.
And I'd been there, and they have really yummy barbecue nachos, although I think he's not involved anymore. But, the Wahlbergs are going to come for me, but I'm going Marky Mark and his brother's Wahlbergers. I grew up around enough mass holes. I don't need them coming into New York City with their burger chain.
They're falling on the worst list.
They're on the worst. And I, you know, it's not fair. I haven't eaten there, but I, you know, I'm just sort of like, I couldn't even deal
Is
with it.
Is it open? I had a friend that.
Yeah, Coney Island.
That walked back by this weekend and he said it was shuttered.
Really?
Yes.
I will be looking into that when I get back to my desk.
Now you've effectively, you've like put a nail in the coffin.
Yeah, she nailed the shutters.
I did it. And then I haven't been there, but Ryan Gosling, also a musician, Dead Man's Bones, runs a restaurant in Beverly Hills, a Moroccan restaurant called Tagine.
Yeah, I heard that's pretty good.
So obviously it's the best restaurant in the world, right? I mean, Ryan Gosling and his restaurant. There, I rest my case.
All right, well, if I did not blow your mind with the Spotted Pig, which
kind of did.
I think it's confirmed. I don't know.
I think it
correct me
is
if too. I'm wrong. But evidently, okay, so this is also in New York City. There is a spot called Kitty's Canteen. It's a Jewish soul food speakeasy, and it is financed by Snoop Dogg.
Interesting. Wow.
Jewish soul food.
You know what? I was going to guess Lenny Kravitz.
Wow. that would be a more obvious go-to, right? Because he is half Jewish. But no. So they serve this bagel biscuit hybrid called the Bizgal. That's going to be next cronut, obviously.
Oh, boy.
Matzah meal crusted fried chicken.
No. Wow. Okay, the jury's out. I don't know if this is on the best and or worst list because I have not been, but it's on the best list. Because
would you say it was very kitschy?
Dropping it over there, Jarobi. And then I have been. I can give the thumbs up on this. So James Murphy, LCD Sound System, he just opened the Four Horsemen Wine Bar in Williamsburg, has a wonderful selection of small plates. And James Murphy, like, he is an eclectic dude. Like, he has his own blue bottle coffee, and I think he churns his own butter, so he's quite...
Wow.
Yeah. Like, I spoke to him once with Eric Repair, because Eric Repair evidently, like, has a big boy crush on James Murphy, and he was dying to speak to him, and I got to moderate that conversation. Incredible. But yes, like, James Murphy is a Renaissance man, and yes, he has a really wonderful wine bar in Williamsburg.
I'd try that butter.
Yeah. You try that butter.
Wow.
Say it in a sexy voice.
I'd try that butter.
Guys, anything else? Michael, are there any that you know of musician-backed restaurants? You don't always know because they're like laying the money out.
Yeah.
Do you? Wow.
No.
Sometimes
no
it's just like name only. You don't like. I expect that Snoop Dogg is not in the kitchen rolling fried chicken and matzah. So, but I mean, he is.
He may be rolling something.
Yeah. Yes, Jerome. He is quick.
hand on the gun on the side.
Guys, I think we have to go out on that because I cannot top Jerome and his quick one-liners. That is our show for today. Our final show. I want to thank today's guests, Jerome White and Michael Spilakis, for helping us close out the season in style, as well as my fellow food writer in arms, Nell Casey, for lending her voice and expertise to so many of our episodes. So, to stay on top of all things Jarobi, including upcoming events like Tribe Taco Tuesday, visit jarobiwhite.com or eatsrhymesandlife.net. You can find Michael Spilakis on michaelspilakis.com, which includes recipes, news updates, and of course, info on his restaurant. Nell Casey is followable on Twitter at Nell Casey, and I am on Twitter too at Sarah Zorn BK, as is Taste Talks at Taste Talks. And even though we are done for this season, you could still access each of our episodes through iTunes or Stitcher. So thank you to everyone who listened and took part in our inaugural season, and I hope to see you all at the Taste Talks Festival in Brooklyn and Chicago this fall. So until we meet again, you have been listening to Taste Talks on the Heritage Radio Network.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archive programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.